knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The devil roaring like a lion. I remember Stuart's dad saying, yes, he's a lion right enough, but he has got no teeth. And I thought that was a good illustration. Yes, he can threaten. He can manifest himself in so many different ways. You can think this is horrible, but he has got no teeth. We are the victors in the battle. And then what does he say? Put on the armor of God. You're going to face the enemy. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand. And having stood your ground, you will have done everything to stand. Stand and take the shocks of the enemy. Jesus said, look, you become a Christian. It's amazing, I became a Christian. I've got no problems. It's wonderful. I've got a good job. Everything's going well. Nonsense. When you become a Christian, you're entering a battlefield. There's no doubt about that. For some people, they may have an easy time initially, but there comes a time when you are facing opposition. In this world, Jesus said, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. You enter a battle zone. You become more conscious that the Satan there would want to destroy. You'll find things rearing up that you never thought were a problem before, but suddenly affect you at work or wherever you are, even in your thought life. It's interesting what Kirsty said. She had her heart and mind set on one direction. She was disappointed, but God had another way for her. And sometimes we start to think, oh, Satan's in this, and maybe he is in this. But it could be God's discipline. It could be God's decision to change the direction you're going in because he's got something far better for you. Remember Billy Graham's wife saying, if I had done my own thing without listening to God, I would have married the wrong man. But God chose her husband, Billy Graham. She had many opportunities, but it was God who said, no, he's the man for you. We can push the boundaries. King David, he had it all, and yet lust took control of him. He committed adultery with Bathsheba and then arranged for her husband, Uriah the Hittite, to advance before the forces and to be killed by the enemy. He arranged a murder. And in Psalm 51, he pours out his heart, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I pushed your boundaries. I've made a mess of things. And the baby died. Tragic. Young lad brought up in a Christian home, fed up with the constraints that his parents had put on him, goes out, goes into a nightclub, meets a girl, got on well, yeah, goes to her home, sleeps with her, and to his horror, 2 or 3 weeks later, she says, I'm pregnant. And he's got to go back to his parents and say, look, I've really blown it. I've really made a mess of things. I wasn't even in love with a woman. It was just one of these spontaneous things where I went in my own direction and pushed the boundaries and got the punishment. He had to look after that baby, that young girl that was brought into the world. He had to share the responsibility. And his life has been marked to this day by having that in his mind. Yes, God can forgive. He does forgive. Of course he does. We're told that. But sometimes you will live with the penalty of sin. And we've got to be mindful of that. If we push God's boundaries, we may make a real mess of things and mark us for the rest of our lives. A case of self-willfulness. The prodigal son, I'm fed up with this farm. Dad asking me to go into the fields every day. Fed up with it, mucking out the cows and looking after the sheep. I want out of this. And he goes to the big city, spends his money of his father's inheritance, has a ball, and ends up with the Royal Bank of Scotland saying, Sonny, you're bankrupt. Ah, couldn't believe that. And has to say, I better go back to the old boy and see what's going to happen. I'll even work as a servant. I'll do anything. But when he goes back, the father's been looking for him and runs to meet him, embraces him, and brings him back into the household. Yeah, willfulness. Alan McBride spoke at the Full Gospel Church some months ago. I met Alan in, I think it was Castle Huntley Prison. And Alan says, first offence, life sentence. First offence, life sentence, yeah. Rival gangs. He said, I knew I was going to have a confrontation this night. So I took a kitchen knife and I put it in a brown paper bag. And I just carried it by my side. I was going to meet my mates. We were going to meet the other, going to confront the other gang. But to my horror, as I turned the corner in the town, here was one of the other rival gang members coming for me, obviously wanting to settle issues. And as he raised his hand, with a club or whatever it was, a hammer, he says, I just took that brown paper bag and stuck it in him. The knife was inside. And he fell, bled to death on the pavement. And the police picked up Alan, brokenhearted. What a mess he's made. In that instant, he got a life sentence. Today, he's been forgiven. He's the pastor of a church. But so easy in those moments, pushing the boundaries, spontaneous actions without thought, to wreck your life. And then, of course, you get crisis through fear, 2 Chronicles 20. The Moabites, the Ammonites, the Muonites make war on Judah. And Jehoshaphat was a righteous king. And he was alarmed and thought, goodness me, we've got all these nations going to invade. They're going to destroy us. What are we going to do? But he fasted and prayed before God. And the Lord says, yes, assemble your troops, go up to the mountain, and when the enemy advances, sing praises. Ah, oh, you're joking. Come on, sing praises. You know, sometimes have you laid awake at 3 a.m. and thought, what if I've done that? What if this happens? What if? And you're worried. You're chewed up with anxiety. You wake up in the morning and you think, gosh, I didn't sleep very well. Oh, no, it was that thing again, that problem, whatever it was. And the word is, don't look at the problem. Look to Jesus. Don't look at the mountain. Look to Jesus. Paul and Silas were in prison. Their backs were raw with the flogging. Their feet were in the stocks. And what did they do in the prison? They sang praises, and the doors were opened, and they were freed, and the jailer and his family came to the Lord. And sometimes we're guilty through fear. We get so buttoned up with fear that we're almost paralyzed. We can't sleep. We're off our food. We get grumpy at home and all these things, and we forget to lay it down and say, Lord, you know the mess I'm in. You know that problem. You know that divorce. You know that bankruptcy. You know that situation. Please, Lord, I look to you. Give me scripture. I'm going to study your word. I'm going to lay it at your feet. Yes, I have to take responsibility, but I'm going to ask you to deal with this situation. And when they sang praises, we're told that those various nations fought against each other. They didn't even have to fight the army of Judah. They were actually spectating the destruction of the enemy in the plains below. Because they sang praises. They looked to the Lord and not to the mountain. Crisis through broken relationships. So often in our marriages, in our business, even in our church, we have problems. We need to settle things. The Bible says, settle things quickly. Ephesians 4:26, in your anger, do not sin, but do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Spoke to a couple some years ago. Oh, when we have a domestic, you know, we can stop speaking to each other for a whole week. A whole week walking around the house avoiding each other. Yes, a whole week. How are you folks? Anyone like that? No, I hope not. For a whole week. Grumpy and huffy. 1 Corinthians 6. Do not take to court of law any dispute that is between Christians. And that's important as well. We are of a mind as people of God to settle matters within the church, within our own faith. Crisis through persecution. Blessed are you when people insult and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. There are times when you feel totally disillusioned. Yes, as Kirsty said, angry. Angry at God. Why, God? Why did this happen? You can't understand. Paul says, we are like men at the end of a procession, condemned to die. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to men. We are fools for Christ, but you are strong. You are honest. We are dishonest. To this very hour, we are hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to that moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. Sometimes you think, gosh, it's certainly not going our way. Picture Auschwitz, grey skies. There are several hundred people naked, getting herded into the gas chamber with the SS guards with their Alsatian dogs. And the rabbi in the middle of that crowd suddenly raises his head and says, now I know there is no God. How about that? You can be so angry in crisis. Where is God? Where is God when I got this medical diagnosis? Where is God when my marriage is broken up? Where is God when I go bankrupt? He's there. He's there. He was there that day with that rabbi, the chosen people of God, going into their execution. He was there. He's with you. He's with me. Whatever the circumstance, there is a call for us to endure. His ways are certainly not our ways. Paul says, we are pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. The reason Jesus came to planet Earth was to destroy the works of the enemy. In the meantime, we are in this satanically polluted world, and you will come up to opposition and confrontation. And your role is not to look at the mountain, but to look to Jesus. Your role is to endure and to win through. As Paul says, you're hard-pressed at every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. Some of us have been in that situation, at work, at home, wherever, where you think, gosh, this has gone on forever. Lord, where are you? Come on, Lord, where are you? He's there. But don't look at the mountain. Look to him. Jesus, come in. Give me that peace that you've promised, not the peace that the world gives, but the peace that you give, that even in this conflict and even in this confrontation, I will know your peace and your rest. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, if we endure, that's not a nice word, endure with him, we will reign with him. 2 Timothy 2 verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Some of us, when we come to Christ, need to realize as youngsters, no, you've entered a, yes, he's there and he loves you. And the best is yet to come, of course. But in this process that we call life, you will have opposition. And it's up to you to stand and take the test. Put on the armor of God and stand. Take the shocks. Become battle-hardened. Because that's what Jesus wants for his disciples. All men will hate you because of me. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. I don't know how I got onto that line. I prayed, what was I meant to speak about? And I just felt it was important that Kirsty said what she was going to say. But it's also important to realize that if you're going through it, he's there with you. But deepen yourself in his ministry. Find out more about him. Read his word. Memorize the scripture. Become so certain that he's your friend and your companion that you can trust him with the outcomes. The best is always yet to be. Believe it. One day we step over into the blinding light of his glory and we'll say, hey, we're here. Amazing. Oh, and there's so-and-so. Oh, there's, oh God, I didn't think he would have made it. Oh, amazing. God's in charge. Folks, believe it. Amen.